Hello, everyone, and I would like to welcome you all to another episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. I am your normal host, as always, Zane, and I want to talk about something that I really want to get off my chest because next week, for Saturday and Sunday, I got something very special planned, so y'all have to stay tuned if you have to find out what it is. So, have you guys ever heard, or at least saw a card game at your local hobby store or maybe at your friend's place called Buddy Fight? Buddy Fight was the third card game by Bushiroad, the same people behind other two known as Weiss and Card Fight Vanguard. Now, it was their third card game and it lasts from 2014 to 2020. Now, the sad thing and the most stupid thing behind this is I started collecting and buying some of the cards, and for me, just to hear that the card game is going to be canceled, and it was last Friday with its last two packs coming out, I find it to be really stupid because it's like saying you bought a game you've been having your eye on for a while now, right? So you go home or you're at your house and you downloaded it, right? You're waiting it for an update. You get yourself ready. You got your headset. You got your controller or keyboard. You get yourself ready. You're excited to play this game. It's a game you've been wanting to play for so long, right? Just to find out that this game servers are going to be shut down in 2 weeks. It's like that. Buddy Fight, honestly, I would argue broke the mold because it did adopt a couple of interesting mechanics and created its own ways of mechanics. Like it adopted some mechanics from other card games, but it also like infused it into a way that it makes it more unique and it has its own types of mechanics for it to call its own and to make it stand out more than other card games. Like, for example, the monsters have like attack and defense points, like Yu-Gi-Oh! Monsters do, but they also have like a thing in the middle that's like they're critical. So basically, you damage them based on that number, much like I want to say Magic the Gathering and Hearthstone. They have like cards from other worlds. So basically, like right now in my hand, I have a deck called the Ancient World deck right now. So basically, that's one example. It's also, I want to compare it to Hearthstone, where you got cards for the Warlock, the Mage, the Druid, and the Paladin, and so on, right? So you got that. So there's a plethora of different worlds to choose from with different cards you can collect for that world. And it's just really a really unique game. I've honestly been trying to make this podcast, but not for the sole purpose of doing it behind this one card game. I mean, like making an episode for this podcast on this one card game. That basically eating my own words there, but I tried, I keep messing up, but this is going to be the final take because I really want to get it off my chest right now so I don't go freaking insane over it. So anyway, I'm going to go over the several key rules of the card game. So if you guys want to listen to that or watch a tutorial on how to play the card game, I'm gonna basically give up the dummies version of it. So basically there's five different cards. Monsters, which are basically the backbone. Spells, basically add cards to your hand, add cards to a place called the gauge, destroy a monster, help a monster protect itself, or other stuff. Items. Items could also be used, much like items in I wanna say Heroes of Hearthstone. You could basically use them to destroy your opponent's monster or deal damage to your opponent. Impact cards. Impact cards are kind of special because they end a duel rather quickly than most cards would do. So it's basically a more, I want to say, fastened version of a card game than most games would be. And most importantly, there's the flag. Obviously, the flag represents what world you're using for a deck. Most importantly, both players start off with a 50-card deck, three zones to place their monsters, and they have only choose one buddy of a specific monster from their entire deck. And they could summon that monster by flipping it sideways or turning it upside down and have an ability from it called the Buddy Gift. So after you summon it, called a Buddy Call, you gain one life. And you can only use that said one life once. So that's basically the basics. And the only way to win is either beating your opponent down with monsters or getting them a deck out. So there's that. And really, There are honestly a ton of unique cards for this card game, but I feel like it had so much problems with it too, just being out there in the open market. For a card game that lasted 6 years, that's honestly saying a lot, because most card games would probably last roughly 2 years. With Redekai, I think it lasted like a year, I'm not sure. But yeah, this card game lasted for 6 years, and it honestly made a really big impact for a lot of people who do the card collecting card game hobby. But besides just that, I do feel as if the card game does have its own ups and downs on its own. Like, for example, with trial decks. I do have a problem with the trial decks because I feel as if it doesn't really. Some of them either do not help a specific archetype, or some of them could be whatnot you're looking for, or you may not be interested in. Where a while ago, I did make a list of specific trial decks of how many Bushiroad released for a specific world. Now, keep in mind, I am doing it based off of the trial decks I saw on a website called TCG Player, and I'm including like a type of box that included three trial decks in one. So basically, something that Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, or Yu-Gi-Oh would do. So those would count. Okay, so let's start off the list. Dragon World, 9. Danger World, 1. Dungeon World, 1. Katana World, 2. Darkness Dragon World, 3. Magic World, 2. Hero World, 2. Star Dragon World, 4. 100 Demon Party, 1. Ancient World, 2. The Chaos, 2. Thunder Emperor, 2. Legend World, 1. And Zwei, also 1. And really, the biggest issue I felt for the trial decks in general is with Danger World, because Danger World was honestly there to begin with, and it was basically like the poster child for this entire card game. But seeing it, this card game evolve from what it once was to what it is now, obviously Danger World didn't get that love from Father Bushiro. But the card game honestly did evolve when I was looking over the anime on its official website. Like, at one point, it was basically like a bunch of vanilla monsters, with some of them having like specific abilities. Like, some of these abilities could go from, like, say, an ability called Move. Basically, you could like move them from their specific zones to another zone. Or, like, Soul Guard. They could basically last longer in the field. Double Attack. Basically, I don't even need to say it. It just says it out there out loud. And it goes from that to like slowly increased to archetype specific with a deck called Purgatory Knights. Purgatory Knights is a very aggressive deck, are based around a size 2 monster named Purgatory Knight Leader Demio Sword, and basically a bunch of size 1s, and you can basically use those size 1s as cannon fodder to constantly keep attacking with your Demio Sword. So basically, you could basically just go all out with an attack with that one card by just sacrificing your own monsters. And really, it starts after that, you really start to show an increase in archetype consistency and specificness in the card game, and it really has evolved. A while ago, I bought two separate structure decks. I bought a Darkness Dragon World structure deck and a structure deck called Double Horus. And comparing these two, it's kind of hard to see that these two decks came from the same game, because the Darkness Dragon deck I first got, like, it had some effect monsters here and there, a lot of them pretty simple and nothing like of a revelation for a card game. Whereas the Double Horus, on the other hand, holy smokes, this deck makes the other one I bought look like a cheap knockoff to the original deck. And it really did evolve. It evolved so much that you could basically like use an old card from the game, and it could still be relevant. It could still be relevant for a deck. And frankly, the best part about it is I feel as if you have so many different choices for your deck that you don't even need to break the bank. Like, I Basically, there's a lot of different card options you could choose from for the card game alone that you don't need to be like, oh, I need to buy this $75 card, but yet I found this other card that's literally cost half as much. And it's like that, really. Like, you have more choices than just breaking, than picking a card that's like worth $100. This is why I like it a little bit better than Yu-Gi-Oh! Because Yu-Gi-Oh! Is honestly quite questionable, I want to say, when it comes to its own card game. For example, one card could cost like $200. But someone, if you want to build that deck with a $200 card, people would say that you need to run three of it. So you're going to be spending over $400. No, wait, scratch that, $600 on that one card. And I find that to be completely ridiculous. Now, no one is saying that you have to buy that card, but I'm just saying, if you want to at least try the card out, that you need, you would have to spend over $600. Why do you keep messing that up? $600 on that one card. Now, completely ridiculous, I can agree, but that's Konami for you. And Konami is more like Kumani anymore. But even though with card games like Buddy Fight or Magic, Cardfight Vanguard, or etc., I do want to bite my tongue down really hard and say that all of them share the same practice, not just Yu-Gi-Oh! And if I didn't say that out loud, I would sound stupid right now. But all cards share the same practice. Like, for example, there's one card out there called, I think, Demon Lord Zerberos, or wait, one sec. Demi Lord Zerberos. And that card is necessary, well, necessary with quotation marks in my opinion, for a deck called Max Dragons, right? That's a $40 card right now on TCG Player. And some people would say you need to run four of that son of a B. You need to run four of that one card, and you're, I feel like you, like there's no other option. Or you can, but the original kind of stinks because it doesn't have the ability to search out a very specific spell card for the deck. But you could still run cards that are cheap. You could still be able to not break the bank. Look, I'm like 99% sure you could just buy a trial deck, or if you don't like any of the trial decks they have so far, you could basically literally build a deck off of TCG Player, and that would probably cost like over $20 at least. Probably not even like that. Probably it doesn't even, depending if you literally look after how much a card would cost, it'll probably just like literally cost under $20, I'm guessing. That's just me though. And that's literally up to the seller off of TCG Player. And one another thing that the card game does do that I want to say interesting is the fact, no wait, yeah, the fact that it has these types of cards called generic cards. So remember when I said that that each deck has belongs to a specific world, right? So like I just said, one of them, for example, Ancient World. So basically, these generic cards, you could basically use them in any deck without the need or specification of a specific world. So that's pretty nice, but some of them could be expensive, some of them cannot, and some of them could be questionable in terms of pricing. But besides just that, the card game did have its own issues, I feel. So let me point out one of the biggest issues that this card game did suffer through was the biggest lack of advertising. Now, a while ago in 2014, I actually did see advertising for this card game on a TV once. And I didn't see it after that point on. And when I first saw it, or haven't seen it, I'm like thinking to myself, holy smokes, that was probably the fastest card game that ever existed in point. Where Redokai probably, like I said, lasted a year. I'm not sure if this card game did last 2 years or even more, but I haven't saw that one advertisement commercial since. And when I found out it was still relevant up, well, up to this point on, I'm surprised of how much of a following it did have with a lot of YouTubers and a lot of people who collected the card game in general. But the advertisement behind this card game kind of stinks, really. Because if you're going out somewhere, like, say, Walmart, Target, your local Barnes & Nobles, you would not be able to find this card, nor any other Bushiroad card game. Like, for example, you wouldn't be able to find it in Walmart, Target, or even Barnes & Nobles. It's rare to find any Bushiroad card game in any of those types of stores. Even GameStop wouldn't have it. Like, it's more rare than pulling out a ghost rare of the Winged Dragon of Ra. It's that kind of rare, folks. But besides just that, the other thing that I felt like was the biggest kick in the balls for the card game was having its own YouTube channel. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, where it's probably the biggest advantage, really, that you could be able to, like, show it off and have all the episodes on that channel for free. But that's also its biggest downside, really, in my opinion, that is, that you're basically limiting your sources and you're basically limiting everything you want to show, like other card games or upcoming boxes or Sega or upcoming events even. And you're limiting it all to this one little channel that probably even half of the world doesn't even know that exists yet. And the anime is not bad, not great either. It's decent, though. It's a decent little anime, probably only for the buddy fights, really, in the duels. So basically, the anime is alright. It does feature, like, 2D characters, and it also features, like, 3D monsters as well, which is interesting enough. And basically, it's all about, oh, we gotta fight! We gotta fight, because we're buddies! Right there, buddy? Monster. Yes, right there, little human man. Bro, it's buddy fight! I haven't watched it a while ago. I'm sorry, folks. But the anime, I feel it can be a little bit strange, because for some reason, at Buddy Fight 100, they literally stopped from the dub at the 26th episode and kept it all the way to the sub until the very last episode. Same thing with Buddy Fight Triple D. Like, they obviously kept the dubbed commercials, but they haven't have a dub for that specific series. I don't know why, but it's still pretty good either way. But like I said to begin with, like, you're limiting yourself to a very specific channel that probably not a lot of people would even know where to look for it or haven't even heard of it. You would think that it might have been on, like, Disney XD, the place for a lot of anime, or even Hulu, for that matter. And I kind of also question how the card game is even shown or, like, survived this long if little people have even heard of it, let alone even seen it on store shelves. A while ago, I actually called 10 of my local hobby stores around my area, right? Only one out of the 10 had the card game, whereas the 9 haven't heard of it or don't even have it. And that's kind of scary to think of, really, because you would think, because you have a card game that you want to try to get out there to the world, but if only one out of the 10 stores has it, you're not really making it out there, really. But the card game, like I said, it survived 6 years, but it could have died, like, for 3 years, right? It could have lasted for 2 years, and it was lucky enough to even survive six. Any card game, for that matter, was lucky enough, or could be lucky enough, to survive 2 years, let alone six. But for some reason, year six was its own number to finally kick off the market. And when you go into other hobby stores, you don't see, like, a, like, small box of Buddy Fight cards. You could probably see, like, big boxes of Magic Gathering cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Cardfight Vanguards, or even Pokemon cards, for that matter. But it's really rare, probably even rarer, to see Buddy Fight in your local game stores, I feel. They have even Yu-Gi-Oh! Or the Transformers card game. Why? I do not know. And I didn't even know that there was a Transformers or Yu-Gi-Oh! Dragon Ball card game. So, another thing I want to point out that I felt that could be the biggest downfall for Buddy Fight was its lack of marketing, really, because that's probably a no-brainer. I've literally been saying it for the past few minutes right now. So the lack of marketing was probably its biggest downfall as well, because much like game stores, if you go to your local stores, you just see like Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic, or even Pokemon. Finding a different card game is extremely rare. Like, for example, I did manage to find a pack of Magic the Gathering. No, wait, not Magic the Gathering. What's it called? Cardfight Vanguard at Walmart a while ago, right? Have not seen another Cardfight Vanguard box or booster pack there since. And you gotta think to yourself that Bushiroad is selling their card games to other places, but they're not selling it to other stores, which I feel can be is a issue for their own company and their own card game. But yet, when you think about it, they are juggling, or were juggling, three different types of card games, or probably more, I don't know. I don't know how many card games Bushiroad does have, but I'm guessing it would be difficult trying to keep track of each one, trying to give out support and trying to promote each of them through separate areas or different places might be very difficult in terms of how they're selling their own card game. But recently, ever since their last box, I do have to give them credit because it does help a lot of the decks, and it's incredible to see these types of cards out there. And it's also incredible to see how fast they can go off the market really quickly. But another issue I do feel with their latest box, Buddy Fight Ragnarok, was they didn't normally give out the cards like in normal booster packs. Instead, they give them out in like these two deck boxes. Like one side would have like the Buddy Fight Ace cards, and the other side would have like these types of rarity versions called Buddy Revives, basically like updated versions of a specific card back in the day. And when I was thinking about it and looking on the prices off of TCG Player, I'm thinking about it and wouldn't their prices be the exact same? Now, granted, the card game economy is confusing enough because like I previously stated, that one card could cost over $200, whereas like the other card I just mentioned could cost like over $40. Let me repeat myself, like, you don't have the choice of getting, like, separate booster packs. You have the choice of getting cards that basically are in all in one. There's no option to get, like, different packets or anything like that, or promos, I think. You get one, and that's it. And that's where I feel kind of dips down, really, because if everyone is going to get the exact same card, which everyone will and has probably, if everyone's going to get the exact same card, wouldn't it make more sense if the card had equal value towards the next one it was right behind of? Like, let me explain further. Like, say, for example, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is probably a good example, where once in a while, Konami would release these types of boxes that would have all shinies. Like, no matter if you open one pack, you'll get more shiny cards. If you open another pack, all shinies. Like, you would have to try and pray to NRA Jesus. Wait, what the? No. You guys know what I'm saying. Not NRA. That's something different. But you have to pray to the gods of pull and drop, item drops, and hopefully get a common or non-shiny card. It is impossible not to get a shiny card from those types of packs, right? But each of those types of cards have their own value, and each of them have their own rarity to it. If you compare it to Buddy Fight Ragnarok, however, that's a different story. Because everyone's going to get the same card. A lot of them are going to probably be the same rarity as the last. And I don't know. They have, like, these also golden types of cards as well. And I don't know if there's, like, a significant difference between types of material they use for it or whatever. But seeing these types of cards being so, some of them being expensive, like I have TCG Player on my computer up right now, and I'm looking at a card called Death Dragon, Death Gaze Dragon, RB, Buddy Revive Buddy, right? This card right now has the highest price being, or its marketing price being, over $3.37, right? So, in retrospect, like I previously stated, wouldn't that card be a equal value or even less than its original price? So, like, say, I don't know, a penny maybe, or even less, or probably 20 cents, I'm guessing. Do you see where I'm going with this? Because they're basically giving out their last box. I feel as if it really drops the idea of rare value or rarity value in general. And it really doesn't, you don't have a choice. Like, if you want to get a different card, then you should probably just get it from like an actual pack packs they have on market. But they are honestly really nice packs, and it really does help out a lot of the archetypes in general. So those are the other thoughts of my idea for Buddy Fight, but let's go over a few others just in case. Buddy Fight really did break the mold for the card game industry, where it introduced different types of worlds you could technically play for a deck, and introduced a interesting anime, and it survived 6 years, really. It really did, because like the card game has so many different types of cards, and for those of you who know me, I'm pretty much like, oh, I really want to try this deck, but my heart is really on this deck, and I really want to try this deck as well. My favorite world is Darkness Dragon World, really, because I don't know why. I guess it just really opens up my inner emo character. You know, like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to do an impression right now. But anyway, the card game did make the biggest impact, I feel, if it survived up to 6 years. And I felt like it could have gone a little bit longer if Bushiro could have told the people behind the Buddy Fight to keep the card game going. But it did, and it was crippled through the fact that not everyone might have heard the card game and the biggest lack of marketing push onto store shelves, onto game store shelves, and it's really sad and it's really stupid, really, because this card game has a lot of potential behind it, and I feel like it could actually be up there with the big boys like Yu-Gi-Oh or Magic and actually go head ahead one another, see which card game is the better one. But sadly, not everything lasts forever, and especially card games, and really, it does stink. But anyway, I think this podcast has gone for a few minutes. So anyway, I just want to thank all of you who decided to chime in and listen in. Stay tuned because next week is Halloween, so I have something special. For those of you who want to stick around, please follow me on Twitter, and I will try to keep posts of my latest episodes and podcasts for any given point of the day. And remember, all geek is fleek.